What's up, guys and dolls? Welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Monday, the 23rd of December. It's the eve of Christmas Eve. It's going to be a rapid one because I've got to rush out the door on my travels. Got loads to do. I'm miles behind and I've still got to do my Christmas shopping because of the balls up with my bottle of chili sauce that I spilt over all my presents that I'd already bought and ruined. I'm still not got round to correcting that balls up, if you like. So yeah, going to do a quick one here and then I'm going to say Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening all the times that you've tuned in. If you have, if you haven't, I'm not thanking you yet. Get on board and tell people about me. Good or bad. Bad news is just as good. You still invite people want to come and listen to how shit the podcast is, so I don't mind. Either or. It's that time of year anyway. Soap operas are going to be going hard out to get you to watch their EastEnders and Coronation Street. It's the worst time of year to live in Albert Square or Coronation Street, isn't it? It's because one of you is just going to be thrown to the wolves with the storylines. You're just going to have your wife's going to be sleeping around or your husband's murdered someone or whatever else. Always at Christmas time, it's like when you're just about to have the biggest jolly of your life. They must have like, when they sit down and go, you know what, fuck, I can't believe Christmas is coming around again. I dread to think what is going to go wrong. Because they're all interlinked, aren't they? All the cast and the crew, all the different sort of characters, if you like. So they're all just as like dreading it as each other, as the character, should I say. You know, you've got all the way back to Dirty Den. And I mean, how many's Ian Beale been through in his life? Ian Beale must have just dread Christmas. You know what I mean? He's worse than fucking, he's like being crucified more than once, I'm sure. And who's it, the Mitchells? What's he called? What's the Mitchells brothers called? The two Balding brothers anyway, you know what I mean. I don't watch it. I know, Nasty Nick, that was the best character in EastEnders. Nasty Nick, he'll be back, maybe he'll come back again. He could do. Fucking, they rewrite that, I mean, or Robbie out of, with Willard. Remember Robbie? Last I heard of him, he was becoming the voice of Virgin Train Toilets. So he's moved up in the world. He's been left EastEnders, gone on to brighter and better things. He was going to be the voice that talks to you as you go into the toilets on Virgin Trains and says, like, you know, lock the door, close the door. I don't know what it says. Or does he talk to you like Robbie, as in I'm Robbie? Oh, Wellard's doing all right. Yeah, boy, you're taking a dump there. Yeah, I'll tell you all about how Wellard's getting on. I don't think it's quite like that. So anyway, you know, who said there's not life after EastEnders? There isn't. They always end up going back, don't they? Otherwise, they just end up nowhere. Is the curse, you typecast, as I will be with this podcast. I don't think anybody's going to trust me with anything after me doing this. Anyway, smoking in NHS car parks is going to be banned across all hospital grounds, including car parks, from April. I mean, they should take up e-cigarettes and that, isn't it? I mean, it is a sad sight watching people struggle in the hospitals down the corridors, and you see people even carrying the stick with the water bag on it and that, whatever it is, the drip and that, don't it? And like wheeling that out with them to go and have a cigarette out under the one spot where you're allowed to smoke. It's pretty grim, to be fair, but I guess it's still freedom of choice, isn't it? But they're banning it, so that's going to piss them all off. Anybody that's a smoker. My mum's a smoker, and when she's in hospital, she normally... I'm not going to tell you, but let's just say she manages to smoke one way or another. Anyway, not mentioning the toilet windows and hiding a lighter in a bar of soap. I never said that. Jungle Queen George Truffalo, who's that? Begged help when she was stranded at the Maldives because of a wonky passport. She had arrived at a luxury destination. Nice if you can get it. Go to the Maldives for Christmas. She's arrived and then they wouldn't let her in because she had a wonky passport by the looks of it. She'd been detained at Male Airport for a page missing on the passport, actually. She's been there for hours. They do get fucking over the top with the passport stuff, though, don't they? They really do fucking, get like, go to town over something like really ridiculous. Like, I mean, a page missing out the passport, for God's sake. Surely it's, anyway, I'm sure she's got it in the end. But that'd be a real pisser if they sent you back and you've landed just in time for Christmas and then all of a sudden you've got to go back. And by the time you do the journey again, after being to the passport office, you fucked it. I remember once I had a passport. We booked a trip and, what was it now? The passport had ran out. My passport had ran out. We booked a trip and my passport had ran out. I'd left my passport with my mate to book the trip. And the passport had ran out. I didn't realise because he rang me up and said, "Do you want the good news or the bad news?" I was like, "I don't know." But he said, "The good news is I've booked the trip. The bad news is your passport's ran out. You fucking idiot." It was too late then, so we had to cancel the trip or rearrange it for a later date. So I sent my passport off then for a new one, and it got sent back to me. Or no, I got a letter through telling asking me why, to explain why I had defaced my passport. I was like, what the hell are they on about? Like, and it turns out that my mates, because he booked it with another couple of lads, and because I've been such a dick by handing my passport that had run out, they drew a big moustache on the passport, and I didn't notice, and I sent it off to get it changed. And they're making me write letters and now to explain myself as to why I've defaced it, and am I taking the piss out of the British passport and whatever else. And it became a right old charade. Just because somebody drawed a big moustache on me, Mexican moustache. Anyway, so yeah, they do get a bit. I mean, how's it going to get when we get this Euro, Brexit thing? It's going to be a sad time. We're going back to a blue passport, is it? Loads of people are applying for Irish passports now. Anybody who's got some Irish heritage or any kind of European heritage, be clever and go and get yourself a European passport. Fuck the British passport off, because we're just going to be lone rangers, should I say. You know, because we're not allowed in anywhere without bloody visas and everything now. It's going to be right shit. Oh, God. Right, 1 million lottery winner. And you see people all... saw something the other day, like going, get down to football, load of football hooligans with a big flag saying, "Get Brexit done." Yeah, I'm not knocking you if you want Brexit, but it just, it's like people just believe it, don't they? I don't think anything's going to get done. I don't think it's going to be very much better for us, but that's my opinion. You know, there's pros and cons, but I can see the benefits of being in and I can see the benefits of being out. So I just have to leave it to the people who were dealing with it and shut my big fat mouth and get on with my podcast. £1 million lottery winner. There's worse things in life, like the £1 million lottery winner who thanked the staff who sold him the ticket. Imagine you've won £1 million and you want to go back and thank the staff that sold you the ticket. What would you do? Would you do what this guy did, which was buy them a box of rich tea biscuits? He had the tight-fisted Scrooge in his 60s handed over a bottle of wine. And a bottle of biscuit and a box of biscuits. So you're being outed there, mate. Carl Gow, Carl Gow is not, that's the guy who sold in the ticket. So he's that pissed off of what he's got. He sent him to the papers and made him named and shamed him. So hopefully he'll read it and go, you know what, that was a bit crap. I'll go back and adjust. Or maybe just doesn't like that shop. Maybe he did it as a piss take. He's like, fucking, you've been pissing me off for years in this shop. I'll show you by giving you a box of rich tea while I'm a millionaire. See you later. Yeah, I never buy those scratch cards. I might have to get involved in that. Seems to be a lot of winners, don't they? I remember Ronnie Corbett won one. Ronnie Corbett won 50 grand one time off the scratch card. He was rich anyway. He doesn't need to do them. So he just did it for a laugh, probably, just for the novelty of it. Not like fucking open I win. You know, although rich people do, didn't they? It's more, vote Tory, more, or more for me, less for you, more for me, less for you. But he won 50 grand and he probably just didn't, you know, I bet he didn't like fucking, wasn't running up the street like Morecambe and Wise doing that foot clap that I would do if I'd won. Shoppers have accused supermarkets of stuffing up Christmas by delivering their orders without the turkey. And so, and even worse, some of them have even not received their sprouts. So a few Christmas dinners are going to be lacking. Saying that, I don't eat meat, so you're just coming down to my level. Although I will eat a meat alternative, like there's a great turkey roast thing that Quorn do. Although I haven't checked that because that was last year, a couple of years ago when I wasn't eating dairy. Now I don't eat when I was eating dairy. And I don't know if it's non-dairy, so I'll have to check. I know I'm being one of them. I'm a right old fucking, you know, reading the label now, make sure that it's got everything in that's within my rules and my morals. I'm a new age plant-based eater, you know. Now I'm taking the planet seriously. The good thing is I can get on my high horse about climate change. What can you do? The meat eating is the biggest fucking climate contributor that we all do. So, you know, do something about it. Have one day off meat. Do yourself a favour. I feel healthier for it. Anyway, what's this? A mum shaved a bra into her partner's chest hair as he slept in an elf on the shelf. In an elf on the shelf prank. God, he's got that much chest hair. He's got that much chest hair that when she shaved it, it looked like the shape of a bra, like a big hairy bra. So, looks good, actually. Don't look too bad. Although he's like the nipples are on the wrong side of it, obviously, because they're coming through. But I don't even have that. I'm not even that hairy. I don't know. It's, one day I might get a big hairy chest, but I'll probably be fucking 85 by then. I don't know. Do women like that? I think they do, don't they? You know, some people are shaving off. I mean, obviously, he's had his done for him, but some blokes shave their hairy chests off, don't they? Whereas some people, like me, probably have to try and stick one back on. Maybe I'll have his offcuts. I'm only joking. Mine looks much better without. Forces without the star. Oh, I do that one. Just a guy who collects Star Wars stuff. He's got a 5,000 strong memorabilia haul, and he drives his wife. His wife tolerates it apparently, but good. I mean, some of that stuff sells for loads of money. I hope he's buying it on the right. Some of that the proper movie props. I saw a guy who had one of the helmets. What one was it? Was it a Darth Vader helmet? Or it was something anyway. But he bought it for something ridiculous, like 50 grand. And you just think, fucking hell, what a waste of money. 150 grand about 5 years later. So shrewd move, it turns out to be. You've got to be on the ball, isn't it? Sometimes you think you're buying it at the top of its price. But then a new Star Wars film gets made. Then all of a sudden your quid's in. Coca-Cola. Remember Coca-Cola claimed that they made it was them that made Santa Claus wear the red suit. Bullshit. Apparently used to wear a green one. That's bullshit because they said they did it in a 1931 ad. But Santa Claus was, I'm going to out them and put the record straight. Santa Claus was described as wearing red in the 1822 American poem, "Twas the Night Before Christmas." So there you go. Don't listen to Coca-Cola. It's all marketing, and I've actually believed that for most of my life. So it's marketing that works. But now I'm setting the record straight to me and the five of you that might be listening right here and now. So the first Frankenstein-style head transplant is coming. That's just going to be weird. A decade away, say the neurosurgeon. You're going to be able to transfer the whole fucking head of a body and putting it on somebody else. That is just going to be freaky. For the family of the person who, for both families, imagine how weird that'd be. It's great if it means that somebody stays alive. I imagine it's the body part of the person that comes stays alive, not the head part. The person whose head it is, I'm afraid, still has to die by the way it is. I don't think you can switch the body over to the head and keep that person alive. Maybe. You could do. Could go both ways. But let's just assume that the head is going over to keep the body alive. Then it's going to be weird. The bloke's your son or your family members now have got a completely different head. And the family of the head guy is going to be freaky seeing another bloke walk and talk and whatever with your family member's head. But still, as I said, you see people who whose family have had heart transplants, and they're over the moon that their family member, they can feel the heart of their family member in the body of the new person who's still alive, and it's like, and the cry, you know, it's it gives them some kind of amazing feeling. So all for it, but please don't ever let that happen to me. I mean, I don't think anybody would want my head anyway. I think my brain is going to be well and truly melted by the time anybody comes to borrow it. So if you do take my head, make sure you keep these podcasts up, because we're gonna start getting popular sooner or later. So you know, I want to make sure that everybody's on board. My head does this podcast, remember. Okay, let's move on. I don't know where I'm going with that. So let's move on to the last couple of things here. A bidder spent £84,000 at auction on a rundown 1990s Vauxhall Corsa to get the registration plate J53. And there's another guy who spent £19,000 on another one, J68. What does that mean? I don't get the number plate thing. It's a good another, like with the movie memorabilia. You could buy a car. I bet the person who like selling cars in the auto trader or things like that, they've got private number plates. They don't realise what the number plate could actually be worth, and they might just sell it with the number plate, and then you go and stick it in the auction like that, because apparently cars can't be sold without the number plate, or the registration cannot be sold on its own. So the next thing you know, you're fucking, I mean, that's that Vauxhall course is probably worth about £500, but he's paid £84,000 for it. So tell you what, money gets made in some weird ways, but it doesn't seem to happen to me. But I'll tell you what, this time next year, you mark my word, this is Christmas 2019. Christmas 2020, we're going to be talking from a different position. We're going to be loaded, and these podcasts are going to be making loads of money, or at least going to be listened to by lots of interesting people who are telling all their friends about me. The highest value notes in the Bank of England, and I want a few of these as well. I'll have a few of these. The highest Bank of England note is called a giant, and it's worth £1 million. It's a note, and there's another one and Titans, I want a Titan actually. Forget your giants. I want a Titan banknote, and that is worth £100 million. So I'll take the giants, I'll take the Titan. I'll take the dwarf. The dwarf might only be about £50,000, but I'll take that as well. So, hey, I didn't even know you had notes like that. I bet you didn't either. So you learn. This is like a knowledge-based podcast. Druids and dancers have gathered at Stonehenge yesterday to mark the winter solstice and sunrise after the longest night. 5,000 people visited the Salisbury landmark for 8:05 a.m. One man was seen drinking mead from the animal horn inside the stone circle, and while banging drums, and he sang. So he was off his head, and he's up for the keeping the, you know, the tradition alive. I've never been to Stonehenge. I'd love to go, but I can't just go. You can't travel all the way just to go to Stonehenge, can you? Because when you get there, it's like, you know what? Because it's just a load of stones, isn't it? And you're like, you go, well, I've done it, I've traveled all the way to Ayers Rock and things like that, but that's a totally different thing, you know, that's an all-day affair. But when you get to Stonehenge, I imagine you just go, well, unless you're like this guy who just fucking just pops or starts smoking somewhere and just sits there all weekend or whatever. If you're just there and you go, well, I've seen the stones now, I don't know what else to do myself. But you got to go to, I think it's near Bath and Bristol, so I want to get over them places anyway. So, right, I'm going to finish up on two more things. Kate Beckinsale is staying in shape by trampolining in her kitchen. She's following some trainer on her laptop. They go mad. You've seen some of them training videos on the trampolines. There's one woman. She's fucking mental. She's like, you can't keep up with her. She's like, not that I do it, but I've heard that trampoline is really good for you. So, might get myself one. The little ones that you have in the house kind of thing, but she's doing it in her kitchen. So I'll be trying to cook while I'm trying to do it. I never have enough time to, so I'm bouncing on the trampoline, trying to turn the kettle on, and trying to, you know, do the pans and whatever, make a right mess. Festive traditions such as writing to Santa are dying out, with just a third of children sending him a letter this year, apparently. Well, that's good. Maybe my letter will get read and get answered then, if that's the case. If there's not enough letters to go around, you might, mine actually might stand out. It's a big long list. Big long list. I don't care how it comes. You can give it me in stages, but it doesn't all have to be on Christmas Day. But I think... I don't know if he's real, is he, Santa? Is he? We'll soon find out. I'll let you know the day after Christmas. 50 Cent doesn't do normal Christmas shopping. This is Santa, modern day Santa. 50 Cent doesn't do, this is the last one I'm going to do. The rapper paid £100,000, which is 77 grand, for a private, £77,000, for a private visit to Toys R Us in New Jersey for him and his son, Sire, who's seven. The store closed its doors for the pair, and the sire was told he could have anything he wanted. The toys added thousands to his dad's bill. That's just fucking taking the piss out, isn't it? That's just ridiculous. That kid is spoilt beyond belief. He's probably one of those kids at school who's just like taking the, you know, he's got everything, isn't he? And he's like probably just being nasty to all the poor kids or something. I don't know. It's not going to do him any good, is he, doing something like that? I wouldn't even want it, you know. It's almost like I want to just be like all the other kids. I don't want to be the fucking rich kid who has the whole shop to himself. It kind of kills Christmas. So anyway, next time, take me or get Santa to come along and answer my letter, now that there's not many letters being wrote. And but I wouldn't, I've not ordered, there's no toys on it, don't get me wrong. There's no toys on my list. Holidays, Bahamas this time next year. And a couple of those giant banknotes, the Giant and the Titan, and I'll be all set. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to do one tomorrow, which is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, obviously, because I don't think there's going to be anybody about. But I'll see you again after the bank holiday, and I'll do one probably next one, Freaky Friday, which is the Friday in between Christmas and the weekend where everybody has to go back to work because they're pissed off. It's like a, that one day that is in between the bank holiday and the weekend. Anyway, have a great one, and I'll see you again in a couple of days' time. See you later. Bye-bye.